So we're focusing on hospitality over the last couple of last week and this week and next week, and that's for a reason, because you know, as a church, we used to, and Josh Jenner's many congregations, about 22, I think, altogether, we used to be very strong in the area of hospitality. And we've got to see hospitality as not just a practical little thing we do. It's just, oh, it's nice, it's over there. And I'm going to show you a scripture now and read through it and let the scripture speak to us. And it's actually a deep spiritual thing, very, very spiritual happening when we do hospitality. And we see it in the scripture quite a lot. And so we realize, okay, this muscle's got a little bit weak in Josh Jen. And so let's just try and strengthen it for a season. Felt the Lord saying, strengthen it, make it strong again. And so that's why we're just teaching the Word of God into this topic, to try and just make us more, have a deep understanding, and then also activate us. It's no good just having understanding. You've got to activate. You've got to do. So hopefully that'll take place as we go along through that. And so just to recap a little bit of last week, what is hospitality? And if we can put up Matthew 25, 31 to 40, this is actually, now remember, our salvation is not works-based, okay? We cannot work our way into salvation, but it should be from a place. The Bible says he's prepared works for us from salvation as evidence of the life inside of us. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed, who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty? They're thinking now of Jesus himself, and give you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Jesus will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And you can see there's a separation there based on doing very basic, practical things. And actually, some are called sheep and some are called goats, those who did and those who didn't. And he lists out absolutely simple, basic, practical things that he had an expectation of. This is now the end of time. This is now the end of the age. Jesus come for his bride. And one of the things he's going to be working through is this particular scripture that he's just presented to us. So he said, when you do it for, you see, our outworking this way is always going to be that way. So many Christians just want a vertical relationship. They don't want to do this. It's hard work. There's rejection. There's pain. There's suffering. There's sorrow. There's difficulty. There's all sorts of things that are challenging this way. Oh, but Lord, I just want to come in your presence and just worship you. And that should, as far as you're concerned, that should be enough. But in God's eyes, that's not enough. He wants you to take that and bring it this way. And that's indication of that. So if you're not doing this, then maybe there's no that. And that's, I just read the word to you. It's not my own theory. It's not my own thoughts. It's just what the word of God says. He says, you guys did it. You guys didn't. I'm separating you. You going that way and you going that way. Sheep are his. The goats are not his. It's a scary word, isn't it? We think in spiritual terms and worship and prayer. But here it is so brought down to practicalities of what is the evidence of the life within you. What is the evidence of the grace within you and your belief? Because the Bible says the devil even believes there's a God, and he shudders at the thought. So if we call ourselves believers, what is the evidence of our belief? So he's saying you're doing it for him. So whenever you do something, we've got to always recognize, yes, I'm doing it for the people, but actually that's Jesus, because they're his body. So it starts really in the house of God. That's where the first step would be, is to actually do it amongst ourselves and to care for one another. And for those who may not be always be convenient and those who may not be easy to love and easy to entertain and have around. I never forget when I went into full-time ministry 18 years ago, the first guy I took out for a coffee, lunch type of thing, he was a business guy. I sat him down and I started asking, you know, it's my first time, I'm ministry now, and questions. And it was a very difficult hour. It was, so tell me about your life. You know, oh, I was born 40 years ago. Okay. So how's it going with God? Good. Okay. More questions. Everything was a one, yes, no, yes, no. It was very difficult. Wow, this is ministry. You know, we've got a, this is not easy. And that's a very simple example. But it's not always going to be, it's not always going to be simple and straightforward in terms of loving people. Some people you might have in your home may not have the same manners as you. They might eat with their mouths open when you're feeding them. And now suddenly you weren't brought up that way and you're offended. I don't want them back again. Eat with their mouth open. You know? It sounds silly, but it's very practical, this. They smell. I don't like that type of language or, you know, that culture, and there's a lot of things that God wants us to overcome in order to reflect Him in terms of hospitality. So hospitality has actually got a very spiritual significance in the outworking of the kingdom of God in our lives and as a church. We're doing it for Jesus. That's what it is. For Jesus. Can we put up 1 Peter 4 verse 9? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. God doesn't like grumblers. The Israelites found that out in the desert the hard way. They got wiped out because they grumbled against God. And so it says, offer hospitality to one another. And you know what? If we sort of follow the smoke trail of hospitality, it actually has got quite a long reach to it. Because hospitality... Let's take an example now. We have a conference. We announced it this morning. There's a conference happening in September, and we need to host people. And some guys, we haven't got enough places to host people. Sorry. Their growth could be stunted, which and they their lives, they may be leaders, they may be people who need to impact other people's lives. Because that conference, a lot of spiritual change takes place in people's lives. And if they're not exposed to it, I mean, guys rave about conference times. There's something about when the saints all get together like that. There's an equipping from the apostolic and the fivefold ministry, just feeding into the grace gift that God gives us to grow us. Ephesians chapter 4 says the fivefold ministry is to grow us, to make us mature. And so that's an exposure time to seriously good ministry, to bring breakthrough into people's lives, that when they go back to their places, they will bring breakthrough into other lives. So other lives and other countries are dependent upon our hospitality to the extent of people's lives being changed and churches growing. I make it dramatic because that's basically what it boils down to. And we turn guys away. Sorry, we can't have you. You're inconvenience. You're going to inconvenience my life. You're going to make my life difficult. I don't really want to host people. You see, we're not here to entertain people. You don't have them in your home to entertain them. The best crockery, the best... linen, you know, to impress them. Because that cuts so many, in our Western culture, so often we won't have people because we're scared of being unimpressive in our homes. We know it's a rich person coming, so we're embarrassed. I know I felt that myself sometimes. You know, yeah, that guy's so used to such a high standard. Now he's going to come to my house, he's going to eat Pronutro, you know. He gets Lonnie breakfasts. We don't always have that. And we've got to break something in us in order to advance the kingdom. And this is a deep spiritual matter. Because if you follow the trail, it can have impact into nations, actually. And we can shut down or open up, depending on our attitude towards hospitality. So it's of eternal significance. It carries major, mega weight in terms of building the kingdom. Let's look at why do we do it? I've explained some of it as well already, but we're going to overlap a bit. Let's put up Luke 24, 28 to 32. The road to Emmaus. Jesus has been resurrected. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. So when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" There was an invitation of inviting Jesus in. Up to that point, they couldn't see. And the moment they invited him in, and he broke bread, and they suddenly could see, and suddenly had revelation of who Jesus was. But if they hadn't invited him, they would not have experienced that. Like I said, carry on. You see, he said he acted as though he's going farther. He's carrying on. And they could say, "Well, carry on your way." But they, in an act of hospitality, of opening up their lives to him, invited him in, and their lives were rocked and changed by that moment of opening up their places to stay, for him to stay. There are three things that motivate us in the kingdom. There's relationship, retribution, which means consequence, and reward. That's all in the scripture. Relationship, retribution, and reward. And we'll look at them, all three of them, as we go along. Let's look at relationship. We can't say God speak to us if we don't open up our homes and our lives to God. We just see that they're opened up. By opening up, God spoke to them. And by opening up our lives, opening up our places that God's entrusted to us, these houses, these homes, our lives even, we actually are positioning ourselves to hear from God. We're actually positioning ourselves to get understanding of what God is saying. So this is a key time where, as you open up your place, God can come into your life and speak to you through your act of hospitality. Don't favor the rich or the influential. In James 2, it warns us about that, because sometimes we're inclined to want to help those who could help us, or those who are rich, or those who, you know, if Jesus was here, really, if Jesus stood here and he looked around, he said, "Who will have me in your home tonight?" And everyone will put their hands up. I mean, I want Jesus in my home. But if a dirty, scruffy-looking guy stands here, and he says, "I need somewhere to stay." Not you, you know. "Can you go somewhere else, please?" I know we've had some dodgy characters in our home over the years. I mean, all the elders have been around. Yeah. You know, sometimes Jenny says, "Why are you bringing this guy home, you know?" But Greg behaved himself. It was okay. But, you know, there's just times when we actually have to be more open. I don't say we take everybody off this. Let's bring this in balance. There is wisdom in this, okay? There were times when I thought, "Gee, what have I done?" I've got my three little boys sleeping here, and I'll sort of stay awake all night watching the guy's door. So there is wisdom in this. So I'm not saying we go to the extreme. Just to tell you, I read an article recently of the homeless. A lot has been spoken about the homeless in Cape Town right now. And the city has said that they've approached every single homeless person, offered them a place to stay, everyone, and they don't want it. They want to be where they are. So that's a difference. But I thought it just enlightened us because it's in our face as a society. We've got to see and where do our hearts lie in terms of helping the poor and those who are destitute and those in a difficult place. Jesus told us that we are his friends if we obey his commands. He commands hospitality. Friends of Jesus are hospitable. In Matthew 28, it says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel, baptize, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all I've commanded you." So one of the commands through the scripture is to be hospitable and to entertain strangers, entertain people, have people that would inconvenience you and would break up your safety bubble, your comfort bubble, And this is a command of Jesus. So I'm just trying to teach you the commands of Jesus. This is what he says. He says entertain people. He says feed the hungry. Visit those in prison. Go to those in hospital. He says it. It's in his word. So let's be a people who are obedient and people who break out of our comfort zones, because we can get so caught up in me and my world and what's comfortable for me. Our greatest threat is probably comfort, isn't it? You know, what will rock your world? What, even now, I think a lot of people's minds are spinning and thinking, wow, what does this mean, you know? But I think God will give you the grace for every situation. Never forget that. God will never ask you to do something that he won't grace you for it. So this is about relationship with the Lord and expressing it towards those around us. He said, I call you friend. He said, not just Lord, not just Savior. He calls us friend. And we've got to be a friend to people, friend to those around us. And then retribution, which means there's consequence if we don't be hospitable. If we can put up Matthew 10, 14 to 15. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to you, send out his disciples to your words. Shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So people didn't welcome them or listen to the words. And he says, more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those people who wouldn't accept them in and take them in to their homes and hear what they had to say. So these are hard scriptures. These are difficult, but it's in the Word of God that God's actually commanding us to do these things. And there is consequence if we don't. Matthew 7:23. Let's just read it a bit more in context. About doing the will of God. Let's read from verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, verse 21, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many of us will say on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And who are those that he knows? Those who give him the glass of water, those who give him food, those who look after him, his people. Those are the ones that he knows. That's the ones that he's in relationship with, because as you're doing it to those people, you're doing it to Jesus. So if you're not in relationship with Jesus, you won't do those things. And it could be a time when that scripture will apply and say, I didn't know you because you didn't come to me. We see the goats were separated. I didn't know you. Goats over there. You didn't do what I asked you to do. And he's asking us to do this. This is not a suggestion and ask to do. Good idea. It's actually the Lord saying, I want you to do this. And it's actually got a consequence if you don't. If you can put up Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So you've got to always link it up. You can't separate out helping God's people and helping God. He sees them as one and the same. So as he's helping people, as he's serving people, as he's loving people, caring for people, you're doing it to Jesus. Not for Jesus, to Jesus. So we've got to understand that when you reach out to people, you're actually blessing God. You're doing what he says. And he says, don't do it grumbling, because you can do it and drag your way through this life and just do it out of, I've got to obey, I better do this, or I'm going to be in big trouble. But I would ask us to go to the next level and say, God, grace me for this. He never asks you to do something that he won't give you the grace for and say, this is how I will enable you to do it. Because if you try to do it in your own strength, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be a bit of a flop. But if you do it in His power and His love, say, Lord, fill me with Your love for these people. Let me see them through Your eyes. How do You see them? Because I'm judging them right now by the color of their skin, their social background, their financial status, their physical appearance. Just the outward. It says, you judge by the outward, God says, but I judge by the heart. So we judge all the time by that. We look at people. Someone walks up to you after this meeting. Straight away, you do a little assessment on the person. You look up, see what car they drive when they leave. An old, terrible old car, fancy Mercedes. Straight away, do they go up in your estimation, down in your estimation? We've got to break this stuff, guys. If we're going to be different, the church is called to be different. We're not called to look like the world. The world looks like that. The world judges by the outward. I really don't like beauty contests and stuff like that. I really don't believe in that stuff. Because the Bible says that the woman, because mostly about women, normally, they're normally the beauty pageants and stuff. But the Bible says women should have an inner beauty. I'd love to have an inner beauty contest. Lord, show us which ones are beautiful on the inside. Because that's what God looks at. It can be, you may not be great looking on the outward, but inside God sees you as beautiful by the love that you have one for another, by the love you have for the saints. And then there's the rewards. You mustn't forget, God loves to reward. He really does. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10. The sowing and reaping. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So God's a rewarder. He really does. He always says to us in the Word, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let us not become weary, let's become tired, in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There is a priority that God gives on the believers, on his bride, on his family, on his church. That is always our priority in according to Scripture. I think Andrew did a teaching last year on the social justice, and he said he showed all the scriptures. I can't remember the exact teaching. But he said there's only one scripture that could look like you should maybe help people outside the church. But virtually every scripture lined up with helping the church. And always, that's our first, your family. Look after your family. By the love you have one for another, this will make it obvious that we are his disciples. How we love each other and care for one another in so many different fronts in the area of hospitality. It should freak out the world in the way we love each other. We should so be different, not for the sake of being different, but the sake of the gospel, that we would show and demonstrate the love of God amongst each other. It's a very simple word, isn't it? Learn what it means. It is better to give than to receive. God says it's better for us to give than to receive. And that should be because we trained all the time, if I'm not going to get something back, then why should I give? What's in this for me? But what if, what if we just give? We know there are rewards. God does give us rewards. But let's not only be motivated by rewards. What's in this for me? But Lord, I just want to bless. And there's something in human nature. Even the people who are not serving God, they love to give because it makes them feel good. Makes them feel like I'm a good person. I've done something good. It's something God programmed in us that it's good to give. It's good to help those who are less fortunate. There's a lot of charities that are not Christian. A lot. Very charitable organizations. What their motivation is, I don't know. There's a very big one in South Africa. Every time there's a crisis, they are there with doctors, money, whatever. They're there. They do make a big fuss about it in the newspapers. They want you to know that they're being generous, which the Bible says we shouldn't make a huge fuss. It should come out through testimony, through lifestyle, than boasting about it and waving the banner. In Psalm 2, verse 8, it says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth, your possession. As the church, we've got to be outwardly focused. That's why I encourage you guys to come with us on trips. And, just because it breaks, sometimes it's for you to go. You know, we always go there to bless, and maybe we do, and hopefully we do. But sometimes it's great just for you to be on that outreach, just so that you can see there's more than this. Because our worlds can become very small very quickly. And it's just us and me, and we look around. Just, but God says, take what I've put in you to give it to others. So if God's blessed you, then we should be those who are front-footed. Trust God for the airfare to the Gauteng equip. And we're going in a couple of, I'm going to Oudtshoorn and George in September, I think it is. Trust God for the finance to come along and be part of that and see what God is doing in the different parts of our nation and going even beyond that to other nations. It's wonderful. Every time we hear, Isle of Man is quite a big conference that we have, and it's just finished now. How many guys go to that? How many guys came to Namibia with us recently? Just it's so encouraging. They're encouraged by it. They're blown away by people's giving of themselves, knowing that it costs you guys. It costs us to go on these trips. But for God, it takes something of Him, and it builds something of Him and into the nations. Because God wants us to think nations, not just to think local and just think our just Durbanville. Yes, God's placed us in Durbanville to reach Durbanville, but God's also given us so much. He's blessed us beyond what we can understand and comprehend. And He wants us to take what He's given us to go even further than what we're seeing.